cameras are on.
Okay, it's 8:45. We'll call the order of the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Please rise for a pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall over there behind Chris. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byer, Setzer. Very first thing is consent agenda, which is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held August 8th, 2012. Approve all claims through August 22nd in the amount of $395,118.26. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve Register of Deeds fees report for the month of July. Approve receiving and placing on file county office inventory reports. Approve specs and call for bids for rock and gravel. Bids to be opened September 19th at 9:15 a.m. Approve bid to B&J Hill Construction for replacement of sidewalks in the amount of $9,729.64. Questions or concerns?
Unless Denny wants to talk just a little bit about the B.J. Hill bid.
That's for, what I marked, too.
Go ahead.
To have a discussion on, so just so everyone knows what it's for.
Okay. You want to do it right now? Yes. These are the sidewalks on the outside of the courthouse, and Dave Jones would have been there. I said I don't think he probably needed to be, but he went out as per statute and got three bids on that on the sidewalks. Also, there's some construction and tearing up the old sidewalks, and our roads department have said they can do that so we can save those dollars and not doing it. But our committee felt comfortable with the with what needed to be replaced and the amounts of the bids. So I would move that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Discussion? And Denny, just for where you're at, Don's handed me a sheet of purchases, state statute 23-3109. When it's less than $20,000, you can take three informal quotes, so thank you. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. No comments on that part. I got to get down to the discuss and approve or disapprove health insurance renewal for Gage County. If anyone's here for the public hearings on the water use the sign-up sheets are over there on the desk. So, discuss and approve or disapprove health insurance renewal for Gage County. Good morning.
I'm Brad Swigert, here with Lowell Eisenhower and Amber Verana. And just wanted to kind of give you a review and answer any questions you might have. First of all, if we might just take a second, in the past year, as you guys know, gals and guys, we met with the employees. We had an employee luncheon. We felt that went very successful, and we're really trying to do that more and more with our group, so we'd be glad to do that again in the future. And I think it's been real beneficial because we've had several people contacting our administrative office direct rather than, you know, trying to run things through Dawn, which she does an excellent job, but it's, you know, just kind of cumbersome to do it that way. So we felt it was real beneficial, and several of you were there, so we heard the comments. And for the most part, it's the same things you hear from, you know, other groups, like, you know, we'd like to have dental insurance to pay for all of our kids' braces, you know, and all those kind of things that we'd all like to have that are very expensive. So, but we've enjoyed working with your insurance committee. We've met several times this year in doing our due diligence, as we always have. In addition to shopping carriers, we shop third-party administrators for fees to see if there was some more competitive third-party administrators. We work with several. And I think the consensus, and Gary might want to comment about that in a minute, is that where we're at now is a very good relationship with the benefit group. And fortunately, we have good news, and that is that after putting everything out for bid and so forth, the fixed costs for the county will go down about $21,000, and the total annual aggregate will go up about $15,000. So it's a net savings for sure of about 1%. So no increase in that arena. We will be changing the carrier to Companion Life and underwritten by Vista Underwriting, which is just an internal thing that won't affect anybody. Nobody will even know it from a user standpoint. So again, we've worked with the committee on some wellness things and different ideas and stuff for moving into the future, which was a concern. And answer any questions you might have.
Yeah, I'd just like to add to what Brad said in that one of the big concerns that I have personally is that the underuse of our wellness programs and the fact that we just need to find a way to get people in to at least do their annual inspections by the doctors. It's really kind of scary to me that we're not using those. So
you are running about percentage-wise in the reports are in there. You're running about average with everybody else in the they are underutilized. I mean, these things are available for people, and they just don't utilize the routine things. There are, with health care reform, especially for the ladies, there are some changes that are going into effect, you know, more and more of the wellness and routine things that are covered without expense. So there's really no reason for people not to use them when there's benefits there and you're encouraging them to use them. And we did that in the meetings also, but yeah, that's a good point.
Brad.
Kathy.
Could we just have a clarification? What is Amber's last name?
Her last name is Anderson, but her maiden name was Verona, and she found it too difficult to change it, so just call her Amber.
Okay, just Amber.
And she's going to have another baby, so we have to be very careful with her right now.
Congratulations.
So those of you that haven't worked with Amber, she's very bubbly, and Amber's the type that if you were having a 40% increase, she'd say, that's not bad. We had somebody else that had 50. I'd say, Amber, that doesn't make 40 acceptable. So any other questions?
Yeah, can you point out on me where on this? I read through this last night, and if you could just walk me through that, show me which one. There's several different plans on here, and I guess.
Sure.
Just so I can circle and mark, so I'll know.
Yeah, well, basically.
Do you have a copy of it so I can?
I've got the copy. I want to be able to where your current coverage sheet is.
This is the $1,000 deductible.
The $1,000 deductible. So you've got your current coverage, which was in the left column. Okay.
On the page.
Coverage, right page up here. One, or because I got two that look like that. I'm just
okay.
Trying to.
This page here. So
page one, Matt.
Page one. Right.
Okay. This one here.
Okay. And so the current coverage was in the left column. And then we looked at several options with the different carriers as far as the third-party administrator, and then they all use different reinsurance. But the two lines that I'm specifically speaking of, if you go down to the reinsurance cost fixed, it's the fourth column down. It's right here, right in the middle. Right in the middle, you'll see that the current costs were $221,611.68. Okay, and the renewal coverage, you saw the renewal coverage with QBE was $263 in the next column. And then after, you know, competitively shopping it as we do, and they do in our behalf, the $199,119 right in the middle. So when I refer to that fixed cost savings, the current coverage was the $221,611, and actually the renewal option that we were recommending and worked with the committee on was the $199,119. And so, but we listed all of them there so you could see the numbers. And then if you go two columns down from that, you'll see the total maximum claim liability. And hopefully that might come in under that. So, but, the actual overall savings if we max out the cost with the savings, it's still going to have an $8,064 savings, and it could be, of course, more than that if we don't have the maximum.
Thank you.
So, and I want to also mention, just Don didn't pay me to say this, but I met with the benefit group yesterday on some other issues, and they said, and I told them we were coming down here today, and they said, oh, you know, they're one of the most pleasant staff to work with when there's a problem. You know, they just understand it's a problem, we're going to get it worked out. And so I thought I might make that comment, because that's nice to hear for you folks too. So any other questions on that, Matt? Or
nope, that's all I needed. Thank you.
Yep. There's a lot of numbers on there, and I apologize, but you know, you put them out in case.
Thank you. That helps.
We thought Denny might want to dissect the whole thing, so we thought we better have them all out there.
It's very good.
Very good.
I was more worried about Amber, quite honestly.
And Brad didn't mention it, but we also did look at some higher deductibles, and there really wasn't any advantage to us doing that at this time. So the recommendation coming out of the insurance committee is going to be to go with companion life, like Brad said, which is option number one, TBG under the $1,000 deductible. So that's going to be the recommendation.
Is that a motion?
That is a motion.
Okay.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. If you guys have any questions, feel free to call us, and we're open to coming down anytime.
The only other thing that I would mention is we did take a look at dental insurance and some vision
options.
Right. And I'm, as a committee, I think we need to look more at that. At this time, we're not ready to move forward with. If we're going to do it, we need to have a plan that's good, that's going to be valuable to the employee. Not just something that's thrown together just to say, yeah, we have it. So,
and then dental's very expensive.
Yeah,
I mean it just is to put in, and I would say that most groups don't add dental without passing the cost on to the, you know, end user. So
if we have questions, we know we've got Amber's number.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Just want to make sure we know who to call.
Call her, not me, right? Because I'll just call her, you know that.
Thank you.
So, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amber.
Receive and place on file a copy of the valuations for the political subdivisions for 2012. Patty?
Yeah, maybe this is basically the sheet that you got. Gage County's $2,086,294,567, and then it'll have, you know, the townships, cities, villages, schools. Basically what it all came out to be for that.
I would move that we receive and place on file a copy of the valuations for the political subdivisions for 2012.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
Greg's question. What was the percentage increase from last year?
I think it was a little over 3%.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Receive preliminary request for levy allocation to county board from townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Ag Society.
That's this box right here that I worked with.
Okay.
They're full of them. There are a couple missing that I didn't have. So when they don't turn one in, then we use last year's request.
Okay. Does that need to be on record, which one?
I don't. I've got it highlighted on the resolution. So I didn't find one for Philly Fire or for Blakely Township.
Okay. Do we have a motion to receive preliminary requests?
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution setting final allocation of levy authority for the following townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Ag Society. Resolution number
21-12. 12-21.
12-21.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Discuss and approve or disapprove the amount the board would like to present as a budget request.
Well, we'll start off on the budget, and if we run into our time event, we'll stop and we'll keep going. Don, what does everybody have in front of them?
They would have a copy, should have a copy that highlighted.
This?
Well, that one?
This sheet here.
Somewhere in there. If not, I have.
The one page deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, through the budget process, very good meetings. We stepped through that. We made a few changes to, I think, the agencies, and we visited with the Veteran Service Office, and we came up with what we're currently going to propose. There's a couple different options here. We thought about, let's have this discussion and see where people want to be. So, Dawn, it's your form, but I'm going to try and step through it because we talked about it. So we'll try and go through it.
The numbers in.
The bottom number there, you'll see where fiscal year 2011-2012, actual tax asking was 7.463226.98. And you'll see the levy there, the bond levy, again, that was voted on by the people. But look at the levy amount there, the total, and then the cost per 100,000. The very conservative flat budget that we initially started with and would be proposing is the top number there called current proposed. And you'll see where the levy would drop and the cost on a $100,000 house would drop by about $5, $4.50 roughly. And then we said, well, we've got some infrastructure needs. Everything else, the cost continues to go up. And if we don't plan a little bit for the future, because last year, again, we were flat, if not a little bit negative. We're about $1,477 less in tax asking than what we were the year before. So these would essentially be flat or zero increases. And I think this year, that what I would consider the flat budget is about a $450 increase in tax asking from last year or from our current year. So knowing that we've got needs coming up, knowing that we need to plan for infrastructure needs, which is one of our biggest expenses, we proposed a 1%, 1.5%, and a 2% increase. And the interesting thing, and this is how when Dawn puts these into her program that runs the numbers and pulls everything out, a 1.5% increase, the tax levy goes up by 3 cents on a $100,000 house. And that's the way that the numbers just worked out. So if you look at that, and then again, the 1% is roughly $74,000, I think is what I said last time. So every cent we levy, every percent increase based on last year would be about $74,000 roughly. So I throw those out as a starting point for discussion to get some feedback. We're not actually approving the budget today, but we're showing these saying, which one would you like to approve in 2 weeks? So I'll throw that out. Looking for some feedback.
Terry, go ahead.
I guess I'm like anybody else. I don't like to pay taxes any more than the next person. But knowing what I know as far as the roads, bridges, the stuff out there, you know, my preference would be either a 1.5% or a 2% increase. With that money being dedicated to rural, or shouldn't say rural, but roads, bridges,
infrastructure,
you know, things coming up down the road that I know are coming up. So,
and that's what we talked about in the budgeting process in committee was any increase that we would see, we would put into sinking funds for infrastructure, because those are almost the most expensive thing we do besides health insurance and employee and payroll and things like that. Infrastructure is just expensive. So that's a good point. Those increases would go to basically sinking funds to save for infrastructure.
We base that on $100,000 of evaluation. The increases, if you went, I never figured it out, but if you went to the 1.5%, you're talking just minimal dollars. I think a 2% would be $3 more on a $100,000.
$1.88 increase.
Okay, on a $100,000 evaluation, be a $1.88 increase, which I know money's money, but I think to do this now is the prudent thing to do for down the road. So that's my take on it.
I agree with you, Terry. The 2%, I mean, when you're looking at $2 per $100,000 evaluation, our infrastructure needs, nothing is getting cheaper. We were looking at major overlays on our roads. It's time we start bringing our blacktops back up to where they were. If Hickory Road is ever a reality, money has to come from somewhere. And, you know, I'm like you, I don't like taxes, but I sure like the benefits that taxes can provide. And I think that's what we hear all the time. We don't hear complaints our roads are too good. We always hear they're not good enough. So
on that,
go ahead, Gary.
On that same kind of that same idea, we always want to discuss economic development and how we want to work out economic development. And that's always the hot topic that everybody wants to discuss. Well, infrastructure and roads is one of the main ingredients to economic development. Without good infrastructure and roads, you're not going to bring any types of new industry into the area.
Myron.
Yeah, Monday I was there too. We got to stay for the budget or the finance committee after Road and Bridge, and a lot of our discussion was just exactly what Terry said, our infrastructure in the county and how do we maintain that or how do we improve on that. And this is one way basically to kind of start having a savings account or to dedicate this more for that infrastructure part of some of these roads and everything. We know we have a hard time. We always talk about we have a hard time keeping up with them. And how do you plan for that? And this is part of the planning.
Well, when you're talking, correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but the 2% is about $150,000.
Yes.
That's not even covering our overlays for the 1 year. Hickory Road is $4 million. So when you look at it from that end, it's still a very small drop in the bucket of what we need to do to take care of our current needs.
But I would say in the last 2 years, if you look at the budgets and the ways that we've worked with the other elected offices, we're seeing budgets now that are very close to operational type budgets. We're not seeing extra monies being put in there because we're not asking people to spend it all at the end of the year so you can get the same amount. We've really worked on those relationships and the ideology of spend what you need, and if you don't need it, you won't be penalized. We'll try to make those budgets as appropriate as possible. So what you're seeing is a budget operationally that appears to be pretty spot on, I think. You know, sometimes things come up. If we have too many prisoners or too many cases, you know, we go over. But a budget sometimes is your best guess based on prior experience. And so as we go through, we've made some small increases. Again, we had no increase last year. So if you look at this over a couple years, anything we do now, you could divide by two and spread that out. State statute would allow us to go based on what we voted before, 3.5%. And we're not doing that. Some would probably argue we should. But I think this board has shown we've been pretty conservative in developing those relationships with the other elected officials and the other departments to show that we're putting a budget out there that allows us to operate, but also be responsible to put money away down the road. And I think that's what we've tried to do with those sinking funds. And if you see where those monies are going, they're going for infrastructure needs, which, again, is one of the most expensive things we do.
Myron.
Rex, I stand corrected. I said earlier it was a $1.88 increase from with a 2%. It's a $1.81 increase from $392.83 to $394.64. That's the cost or the tax you would pay on a $100,000 evaluation.
Any more discussion? Terry.
Rex, I would like to add, I'd like to thank Don and Matt both for the lot of hard work they've both done, I know, to getting this thing where it's at today. They put in a lot of hours, and so I'd like to thank both of them for that.
Harry and Gary, they can sharpen the pencil and turn the screws pretty tight, so it's a good group.
Any more discussion? Need a motion to approve what percentage somebody chooses?
We do that now, or... Well, I'd like to personally make a motion to approve a 2% increase in the fiscal year 2012-2013.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove? Public hearing for the budget is 9:15 next.
Calculated at the 2%.
They calculated at the 2% for the next meeting.
So we'll actually approve that next meeting.
Yeah, we'll approve it next meeting. We didn't approve it today. We approved putting the 2% on the final budget. Yeah.
So, and I guess worst case scenario, if the wheels fall off the thing, we can schedule another meeting later and we can, but we're getting down here. And I think we've discussed this three or four times.
Well, we will always put the 1% on if we need it, correct? I mean, that is done at that same meeting.
No, we've already everything.
Okay, everything will be completed then. Okay.
Public hearing will be the final.
Okay.
And we'll pass it that day.
Okay. Approve or disapprove agreement with Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court in the amount of $13,640.
Make a motion to approve the agreement.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
I think someone's here for.
You here on drug court?
I am. I'm Christy Rivers. I'm the coordinator with the drug court, and I'm just basically here to answer any questions you guys might have. I did submit the budget to you guys, and
I believe the county attorney has seen this. I've talked to Roger about this, and he's seen it, so I don't know.
I've reviewed it, and again, obviously, Geese County remains the biggest user of this program. It's very beneficial, both from the standpoint of the Offender Society and our office. It allows us to work with the drug court versus doing criminal trials, and we've had enough of those lately. It does produce a conviction if they fail to finish the drug court. So it does streamline and save us tens of thousands of dollars from the standpoint of our office and our county. So again, the cost has gone up, reflective of a higher percentage of Gates County residents in that program. But basically, it's the same contract, and I see no problem. And would encourage the board to approve it again.
The drug court, I think, is a tremendous investment on the part of this county. I think it's using our dollars very wisely, and in the long run, over the years, the thousands and thousands that it will save us is incredible. Plus, the lives that it improves as well. So I want to thank you and your staff. I think you do a wonderful job.
Well, thank you, and thank you for all your help.
Bauman, Lytle. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you.
Thank you. I have the contract.
Approve or disapprove Beatrice Daly's son request for additional funding for publication. We got 2 minutes on this. If it's not enough, we can do it later. We have timed event at 9:15.
I'll make the motion to approve the Daly son's request for additional funding for publications.
Voted by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman. This was a request from the Daily Sun, and I see they have a representative here other than Chris. And then there's also a few gentlemen from the Voice News in conversation the last week that I had with them. But they have information that I think is valuable that I can't regurgitate because I don't work in the media world. So anyway, there was a request from the Daily Sun for additional funding for publication by state statute of the public notices that we put out there. And so very briefly, the contention was that the amount that we were paying the Daily Sun was not enough to cover their cost. And if Rhonda wants to speak on their behalf, but there was a request, and I think everybody knew that Myron and I were having a meeting with them, with Roger, and I think there was a request initially for 100%. And I said, well, we're not going to do that. We'll come back, and we'll. And even the request in the packet, I talked to Patrick yesterday, and said that, we'll probably go back to what it was initially before, because I don't think they were getting 66.5%. It's actually 65%. And so there's some cost structures in there about, I think it's on page 3 of the packet, there's some circulation numbers countywide versus total. You'll see the Daily Sun's got about, and I look at the totals because when you see where the
people read the legal notices that come and say put a bid in or whatever, they're outside of Gage County. I think we're very much regional, and so Daily Sun's got 5,032 voices, 3,200, and I hope these numbers are correct. I think they were given to Dawn, and then there's the Arbor State with 583. So there's associated costs in there. In our meeting, and so Myron and I, we said, well, we will come, and we agreed that, you know, we would try and put it on the agenda to reconsider going to 65%.
Okay, we're going to do a 9:15 timed hearing. So
I will make a note. There is one correction where on the April invoice that when they sent me the publication, proof of publications, they had corrected their amount, but it didn't get on the invoice, and so the amount billed is a little bit less than what he's saying.
So we can talk about that after.
Yeah.
Okay, 9:15. Hear recommendation from Planning and Zoning Commission on a special use permit.
Do you want to tell them about this one?
2012-3 to construct and operate a water storage facility in Northeast Quarter Section 14, Blue Springs, Wymore Township, in AG1 District. There is a sign-up sheet on the table over there if anyone wants to sign it. Lisa.
Yes, good morning. As you know, if you've had a chance to look at the application itself, it's located in the southern part of Gage County. This specific special use permit has to do with the actual water-holding facility. So, and if you know your sections down there, it's located in the Section 14 of the Blue Springs Wymore Township. In February, Dave Claybaugh did come to us to share with us about the project and the need to get that water to the southern part of the county. We shared with him at that time the application process and told him that based on the existing plans and the significant amount of roads that were going to be affected, they would need to work with Roads and Bridge before we can consider approval of the project. Also, at that time, we determined that a variance would also be needed to met because the actual water tower and the pump station was less than 75 foot from the center of the road. So the NRD then submitted the application for a variance on the tower, and the hearing was held in June by the variance committee. The variance committee did approve the variance subject to the fact that the NRD project provide written documentation from Norris Public Power within 30 days to say that they were satisfied with those distance requirements and the power lines that would be involved. That letter has been received, and Norris has no problems with the tower placement. So in July, then, we held our special use permit with 32 letters being sent out on our end, and then, again, we sent those 32 letters out for today, and we heard no opposition to the project at all. We know it's a huge asset to the struggling amount of farms and homes down there to get water to them, so we appreciate and thank the NRD and Dave and his staff for his patience through this application process, because it does take time. So based on our facts that we presented, the variance has been granted. Also, with the setback requirements, we've got Norris's approval, and most importantly, the working relationship continue with Roads and Bridge. We do recommend approval.
Okay. So. Thank you.
Yep.
Need a motion to open a public hearing to support and or opposition on special use permit number 2012-3 to construct and operate a water storage facility in Northeast Quarter Section 14, Blue Springs, Wymore Township, in AG1 District at 9:19.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. Gary?
Oh.
7-0 to approve. Opening the public hearing. Mr. Dave Claybaugh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Claybaugh. I'm manager of the Lower Big Blue NRD. Lisa kind of took everything I was going to talk about, so I'll be pretty brief. I'm going to pass out just a quick map and kind of just go through the project. I know I've talked to several of you about it, but some of you may not be familiar how it looks like.
Yeah, that's true. Dave has been to Road and Bridge a couple times, and Road and Bridge is very aware of it, but there are some may not.
Thanks, Dave.
No, he hasn't.
Mm-mm.
Thank you, sir.
I may be one short.
That's all right.
Yeah. I apologize for the quality of the map, but the top of the map's north. I highlighted the towns in blue, or I mean in pink, I guess. I think you can make out the towns. You can see the pipeline covers a large area. The yellow is the elevated tower that we're talking about today. Right now I've got about 170 users signed up, probably 130 miles of pipeline. When this project was first envisioned, I think we were just looking at the area around that water tower. But you can see I'm already north of 136 and Highway 4. I'm down within a couple miles of Odell. We're south of Liberty and Barnston, and over to the county line. Also have just a few users in Pawnee County that we can serve. A lot of users in Holmesville that don't show up on this map because, you know, it's kind of concentrated. You won't be able to be a big blob. So the project's about $3.2 million. Like Lisa mentioned, it's going to be a huge asset for this area. There are several people hauling water in that area. And with the weather we've had this summer, you know, there's a lot of wells sucking air, going dry. And that's added to the interest of the project. So if I say 175 now, when we start, we figure we'll probably get a 10 to 15% increase as we move forward. So it's going to be a good project.
It's life-altering for southeast corner of Gage County.
Yep. Very, very true. Very true. Lisa already said what we've gone. We met with Road and Bridge, got our utility permit. All the roads will be bored with the pipeline. We won't be trenching through any roads. That was a concern. I think Road and Bridge liked that idea. That's huge. We will have to use the county road ditch in certain areas if we can't obtain easements, and that's something we talked about Road and Bridge with, and we will make sure the county knows where those areas are. They had some concerns. Bad areas where they have silting and erosion, they'd want us to stay out of course, or we'd make special provisions to do that. We did open bids for the project in end of July. We did have three bids for the storage tank. Low bid was $435,876 from an outfit out of Indiana. You know, this is a fairly good-sized project. These contractors are highly skilled. This is what they do for a living, to put this pipelines like this in. Between the first and second bid was less than $6,200. And the top, and the range was only $12,000, so pretty good bids. That's just for the tank. The water distribution system, we had three bids. Low bid was a Carstensen Construction out of Pipestone, Minnesota. And their bid was $3,159,909. The second bid was $41,000 higher than that. So they were real close. We did have a bid from K2 Construction out of Lincoln, I think was a group of, I guess, local people in the area got together with K2. Their bid was $6,321,000. So they were quite a bit higher than these people that do this on a regular basis. With that said, I think these outfits will, and I hope they do, hire local contractors to help. You know, there's several people in the area that do boring. It'd be a boon for plumbers to hooking up the system to the people's houses. That'll be a big thing. So it will have some impact in the area economically. With that, I guess I'd answer any questions.
Matt, Myron?
Refresh my memory. $3.2 million, who pays for that? Is this a federal program?
That's a federal grant. This is USDA Rural Development Loan, and we're getting about another $3 million in grant. So we'll have about a $3.2 million to pay off. Other than that, that is the only tax money involved. You know, this system is going to be self-supported. The water users are going to pay for the maintenance, pay for the water, upkeep on that, and the debt service. So it really is a community-based project. So the NRD runs one that goes out to the homestead, the Beatrice West Rural Water. We've got about 43 or so users on that. We buy water from the city of Beatrice. That's been a good project for that area, too.
Myron, Gary, then Terry.
The picture here on the second page, that's what the tower...
That's what it's supposed to look like. It may be a little bit different, but that's just an idea of what it looks like.
And then another question. This application special use permit today, that's just for the water tower. That's not for all the other stuff. This is just for the variance on the water tower.
For the tower, correct.
Yes.
Yeah. At least it said the pump station. There is not a pump station there. The pump station will be located in Wymore. That's just the tower.
Gary.
Dave, yeah. Everything's going to be organized, maintained, and ran through your office at the NRD office, right?
Correct. Yeah, we'll be handling everything. Yep.
Terry.
Dave, I'm just curious. What is an average projected monthly cost per
user? We're projecting $60 a month. If someone hooked up and didn't want water, it's going to be $45 a month. That's the debt repayment and money for maintenance and upkeep. So the water is a cheap part. That takes 6,000 gallons, which is a lot of water.
So you meter it? Is it just?
Yep.
It's just
everybody will have a meter, and they'll read the meter and send in the cost. Keep costs down. We can radio control those, but that jumps the cost up pretty fast.
You got a question, Mark?
Just wondered if the county would be able to put any type of communications equipment on that.
You know, I think that's a possibility. I haven't been approached by any. It sure would be one.
You could just wear it.
I figured that was coming. Any other questions? I guess I'd recommend your approval. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, need a motion to close the public hearing. Unless there's anyone else, I guess. Need a motion to close the public hearing at 9:27. Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution on special use permit number 2012-3.
No, 12-22 is our resolution. That's the special use number.
That's the special use number. Our resolution will be
12-22.
Water storage facility in Northeast Quarter Section 14, Blue Springs, Wymore Township, and AG1 District.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. You're up and running, Dave.
Thank you.
Two minutes for our next time deal. Approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and the Beatrice Humane Society.
Okay.
Make a motion to approve the agreement.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion.
You see the dollars in there are $12,000. That's just an agreement we started a couple years ago because it does allow for services of the Beatrice Humane Society by people that live outside of the city limits of Beatrice. And so before, there was no agreement. And so that we tried to outline for the dollars that we give what the services will be provided. And that's in that agreement.
Okay. I'd like to remind everybody, too, in this discussion that when we've had animals in need or we've had issues at the county that we've needed help, Humane Society stepped up pretty big. I think Roger can attest to that.
Yep. Hopefully that won't come along again, but.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. It is 9:30. Here, recommendation from Planning and Zoning on Special Use Permit 2012-4 to construct a warehouse office location in Southeast Quarter of Section 31, Philly Township, and AG4 District.
Okay. Moving around to the other side, the east part of the county, today the application is being submitted by the Sapp Brothers. That's for a warehouse and also an office building located just east of the one-stop station there at Highway 41. And keep in mind, then, Southeast Co-op has their economy center on the other side, on the south side of the highway. It is in an A4 district, and that is an allowable use. So we're okay there. For our hearing in July, we sent out 49 landowners that were notified. And again, we sent those 49 letters out for this hearing. We heard no opposition to the special use permit. Terry Oatman, who is here today, presented the plans. It's the building is 60 foot by 132 foot, and it's going to be used for a warehouse and an office, which will be just east of the gas station. Also, keep in mind, as you're looking on the other side, our main concern was accessibility to the drive and getting off the highway. But Terry explained at our hearing that the existing road off of Highway 136 enters into the one stop, and they have assessed easements from the one stop, and they've secured those easement agreements for both utilities and the road. So based on those facts, hearing that, we had no problems with this, and we do recommend approval for this permit.
Okay. So. Need a motion to open a public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Sign-up sheets available. Terry Oatman, you want to address the board?
Vote on that first.
Oh, we need to vote on it first. Sorry, Terry. Any discussion? Vote. 7-0. Now, Terry, you're up.
I'm Terry Oatman. I'm the operations manager for our Lincoln division of Sat Brothers. And basically, I'm just here to answer any questions. We do want to, Lisa said about everything again that you need to know, I guess. We outgrew our small building there in Philly, so we just need to a little bigger office and more warehouse space. And it's just warehouse for oil, basically, packaged oil. Really won't be any bulk oil or anything in there, just all be packaged stuff. She did say we did get the easements all from the one stop, and that has all been approved. We did check in with the state if we wanted our own driveway at a particular time, and it would be like just right adjacent to their driveway, just in case there ever becomes a problem with us, you know. And it did get approved already by the state for a drive there, so it wouldn't be an issue if it did. It was still far enough from the corner that they didn't think it imposed any problem. So any other questions?
How many square feet is it?
The
building.
Well, 60 by 132, whatever that is.
Okay.
Square foot. I mean, it's just this rectangle building.
Okay. Myron.
Your offices, that's just for your own local use there.
Exactly.
That's not,
yeah, just like we have a small, about 12 by 15 office there in Philly, and this one will be like 24 by 24 inside the building. Yeah.
Any more discussion or questions for Terry? Thank you.
Thanks.
Any more discussion? If not, need a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to close the public hearing at 9:33. Need a motion to approve or disapprove resolution on special use permit 2012-4 to construct a warehouse office location in southeast quarter of Section 31 Philly Township and AG4 District, Resolution 12-23.
To approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you. Approve or disapprove Beatrice Daly Sun request for additional funding for publication. Motion by Bauman, second by Lytle. Now we're in the discussion phase.
We're just having that discussion. So I had visited last week or earlier this week with the Voice News and was trying to get their opinion and about, you know, how these things work. And they offer just kind of a different idea. You know, I think every year when we pick the papers, we do a percentages, and that may not necessarily be the best way to look at it. I think the board did a fabulous job by choosing the Voice News, especially in the northern part of the county. I think they cover a huge area up there, and I think there's a huge readership up there. But, you know, at this point, this is about public notice, and, you know, we need to have as many people touched by public notice as possible. So apparently there's a cost issue with what it takes for the Daily Sun. So I don't know if Rhonda wants to get up and speak, or, you know, Myron was at the meeting, and so was Roger, and so if they want to give an idea. I don't want to speak on behalf of anyone or for anyone. So
there
was a request, and so that's why we brought it forward.
Well, you want to name an address for the record and share your information.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Kevin Dalton-Air. I'm the production manager for The Voice News. I live up in Hickman, actually.
Thank you.
And we were really excited about the prospect of having the legal notices for Gage County, because that's really a thing that we can offer our readers as a service to them, so they know what's going on in the county and they don't have to rely on another publication. And kind of what I came to talk to today is a little bit about how the rates work, because it is kind of confusing. There's a giant publishing book all about it. Back in 95, the legislature decided on a matrix of what we are allowed to charge for legal notices. It's based on the width of our columns and the point size that we put our type into. We are bound to charge that. Like, that is the maximum that we are allowed to charge. We can do these side things like we have with you guys where we give you discounts, but there is a limit to, you cannot charge more. Daily newspapers had a little bit better lobby than weeklies did, and they got an exemption from that. They are not bound by the chart that weeklies are. They get to charge whatever they want. And I'm not really sure what methods they use to determine that, but they are not bound by the chart that we are. So down kind of that bottom section of the handout, the open rate for legal notices is 56 cents a line, or for the first week that something runs, or if you have something that runs multiple weeks, like the treasurer is doing a deal right now about property taxes, so it's running like 4 weeks. So the first week is billed at the first run rate, and the extra weeks are billed at the discounted rate. Now, counties, cities, school districts, pretty much any government entity automatically gets a 25% discount by state law. So then that drops county rates down to 42 cents or 36 cents a line. And then we do, you know, we're doing this 66% thing off to divide it up between the county, which is completely fine with us. So that drops it down even farther for you guys. We get some leeway on special things that you guys might want to publish. When you do sample ballots or budget hearings, pretty much anything where you send me a chunk of something that I cannot, like, reformat into my columns, I am allowed to charge whatever my open advertising rate is. So for us, that's $8.75 a column inch. We opt to not do that. We just charge the regular by-the-line rate like it was a regular legal notice. And our thinking on that is counties aren't exactly a business like any other business. All of your revenue comes from the people that live in your county. So if whatever I charge you for the legals, if I live in the county, I'm pretty much charging myself. So we don't really see a big advantage to charging a whole bunch just so that we have to pay more taxes. So we opt to just go by the line for everything that you guys do. And I mean, that kind of sums up that. And the one thing that Matt and I had talked about the other day was this percentage thing, that we're dividing up, we're dividing it three ways between us, Beatrice, and Weimar. And I got some numbers from Don, kind of at the top part of the paper, about what you guys spent last year with the Daily Sun. And then dividing that by three is about $3,000. So far with The Voice, you guys have spent $15. I'm kind of projecting that you're going to spend $23 by the end of the year. So that leaves you an extra $700 that you're going to be saving between what you're paying me and what and the third that you had been paying the Daily Sun. So maybe instead of straight percentages, you guys could look at it that way to be able to, okay, well, so we're saving money over here, so maybe we can kick the Daily Sun a little extra money just to keep everybody happy so everybody plays nice together. because we do want to keep the legals, because I think it's a great benefit to our readers, but we don't want to create like an adversarial relationship with anybody either. So I guess that's kind of my spiel. If anybody has questions.
That was the feedback and kind of the light that came on is that we have two different types of papers and we're trying to all treat them the same. And I think there's an advent to having all three serviced as far as public notices in the county, but we have to think about it different. And the percentage thing is, you know, we probably need to throw that out the window. And I know Myron and I talked about this, maybe have the conversations with the three entities, November, October, December, like that, and set things up because they're I just think we were treating them differently. And, you know, yeah, one can do it cheaper than the other. And I think my understanding is if there's a legal notice, you all run it once a week. I don't know if a daily paper runs it six times, so I don't know the value difference there. But we were trying to treat everyone the same. I think it's excellent the way we're doing this. But, again, it was a different perspective that I hadn't thought of, and I couldn't have regurgitated all that. So I appreciate him coming here and just try to give everyone else the same perspective that I had. So I like the idea of we're probably going to have to look at it from a money standpoint, not a percentage standpoint, and then we'll have to, as we budget for that moving forward, I would just take that into account that the cost may be a little bit different. So I appreciate that.
And as far as the daily thing, unless you stipulate that you need it published more than one time a week, it does just run the one time during the daily paper. And I'm not sure what day you guys do.
Any day that they request.
Oh, okay. Because I know the day, the Journal Star does certain notices on certain days.
Or any day that they request or the next available publication.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Well, thank
you very much.
Thank you.
Rhonda?
Rhonda Zarbanicki. Was the controller at the Daily Sun, and now I'm the advertising manager. And have to apologize, I don't have anything big prepared. I found out yesterday that I was coming, which is fine. But my understanding of this from the beginning is that I visited with Alan Behrman at the Nebraska Press Association to get a better understanding because statutes, they're wordy, they're hard to understand. So I called him to help us understand what we can do, what you can do to figure that out. And he said this isn't uncommon for counties, cities, school districts to want to run in multiple publications. But what he did say is it's not up to the boards to make the decision how much each one gets. And we are an example of that. Probably about, I think he said 19 years ago, the Daily Sun and the Arbor State got together. I think the same thing happened. It was, we were the primary publication. The county wanted to add the Weimar Arbor State, and so the Arbor State and the Daily Sun got together and said, what's fair here? What can we do to make this seem, you know, we understand you want to hit more readers in the county. So the Daily Sun and the Arbor State got together at that time and said 66, 33, 65, 35, whatever those percentages are, that seems fair and equitable. So back then, that's where how we came up with those percentages, and that's what we've been billing the county ever since. I think Dawn actually enlightened me on that when I visited with her. So I then called Alan Behrman back, and I said, so how does this work? And he gave me a couple of other examples where a county, a school district, and a city might rotate year to year. That way each year they don't lose revenue, but each year they have legal revenue. So they might rotate between three papers, those three entities. He said to me, in no way is it the board's decision to make that. It's the paper's decision. Obviously we are a business, and we're like Norris Public Power. I can only pay a 33% of my Norris Public Power bill, and I'm pretty sure they're going to shut my lights off on me. So it's up to the papers, us, the Hickman Voice, and the Arbor State to get together and decide, okay, if we all want to do this together and share in this 45 cents per line is what the statute reads, then we need to make that decision and come to an agreement and then come to you guys with that. I'm not aware. He's talking about discounts and different things that weeklies can do. Alan Behrman didn't share any of that with me. He said it's 45 cents per line. There are discounts as you run more lines or more publications, but I'm not, you know, it's a state statute, and I'm not aware of any, again, because I'm not professing to be a professional in that, but I'm not aware of anything different between a daily versus a weekly paper. So what we understand is 45 cents per line is what we can charge per state statute, which is what we charge our other county or other legal runners. But again, with the county, we've had that 66 or 65% of that 45%. 45 cents per line is what we've been charging you. So, so in the Daily Sun's eyes, I guess there's two options. One is we're not going to accept 33% because that just doesn't make sense when you look at the fact that we have 78% coverage in the county between the three newspapers. That doesn't make sense to us at all. So the two options that we do see as viable is, you know, one, we get together with the papers and agree, the three papers can agree upon what we think is fair to each one of the papers based upon the fact that Weimar has 8% coverage in the county. Hickman has 14% coverage in the county, and the Daily Sun has 78% coverage in the county. So that, to me, would be the one option, or we would be willing to stick with what we've done for the last 19, 20 years and do the 65%. So if you guys have any questions for me on that.
I guess the thing that rings out to me, Rhonda, is why didn't we have this discussion 9 months ago when we were voting on this, as opposed to 9 months later after you've billed us for 9 months at the wrong rate?
Yeah, there was a discussion had. We received a letter February 17th, 6 months ago, from, I think it was signed by Rex, and was asking whether we were going to pay one-third or whether we were going to pay charge you one-third or whether we were going to charge you 100%. Jim Risto, the publisher at that time, responded and said that, and that was on February 29th, he responded and said we would be billing you 100% going forward. You went ahead and paid a third of it, and I know I had multiple conversations with Don, clarified some things with Alan because the two of us were kind of in between. I called Alan Bierman three times and discussed with him to make sure I understood. So that was in April and May. So there were ongoing discussions. It wasn't like we were not doing anything with it.
But this was actually in front of the county board in January.
And
this discussion should have been had at that point. That way, if that wasn't fair, it wasn't equitable, you know, why wasn't somebody here saying that then to say, hey, this isn't going to work, rather than waiting until it's already in process? I mean, I don't get, because it had to, I mean, it was on the agenda. It was published. There was nobody here. We did have, you know, one of your representatives here and didn't say anything. I mean, obviously, he's just a reporter. He didn't.
Right.
Not just a reporter, but I mean,
you know, just a reporter.
Luke was here then.
Yeah.
He wouldn't
know.
Okay. Yeah.
I can't answer that, Gary, why that would have been, because I wasn't involved at that point in time. And, you know, who overlooked that, I'm not sure. But as soon as the first payment we received, we called immediately and said, what's going on? And again, I think it comes back to none of us can pay whatever portion of any bill, whether that be your cell phone bill, your power bill, whatever. I mean, you have to pay what you're billed, and I think when we got the letter then from Rex and Jim responded, we said we were going to bill at 100%. Again, I can't answer to that why someone wasn't here.
Well,
Roger,
I guess
Roger has a question for you.
Sure.
My understanding on that, and Don had asked the question numerous times to this paper, the Beatrice Daily Sun, is the invoice of billing you're sending, does it for one-third, as per the resolution in January, or is it 100% so that she has to deduct from that? That was the question presented. It wasn't saying, are you going to bill us 100%? That wasn't, you know, and again, I disagree with your analysis here. You know, that's the maximum legal rate that a paper can charge us. That doesn't mean you can't, you know, do discounts. The gentleman from The Voice indicated they give a discount.
Yeah, my understanding from Alan Bierman is it's how you interpret
lawyer.
It, I guess. So that was my understanding from him.
But the fact is, papers do discount as a public service. As the vocal media through radio and television get PSAs. And that's wonderful, and certainly public entities appreciate that. I just think it's a situation, I agree with, just my note with Gary is, I think in November, if the three papers want to get together and present that to the board, as far as here's the total pot, and here's what we're agreeing on.
That would be my recommendation too. I mean,
but there wasn't any movement over there, and so in January, I think, Mr. Byers indicated that he wanted to make sure we get as much distribution of the legal notices as we possibly can in the county. And that was his motion to go third to third to third. So we made sure everybody across the county can receive those. So, again, I think that clarifies it a little bit. There was no intent there from this board to squeeze anybody out of anything. But we're not cheating on our bills, because the bill sent, the resolution was sent to each of the papers, so they knew what they were going to be able to bill and get paid. If you didn't like that, you could say no, thank you.
Well, I apologize.
I'm not picking on you. I just want to clarify for the media.
My understanding is that the letter that Jim Risso responded February 29th, I was under the understanding we were being asked, are you going to bill us 100% or 33%? And he responded and said, we will bill you 100%.
That was the question, so she could deduct down to the 33. So geographically, I think the board has done a good job trying to hit all corners of the county. I personally have not had anyone tell me the Daily Sun is being shorted. I find it interesting that customer service comes at a cost. You have a web page you could put legal notices on free. You choose not to. If you're not being compensated for customer service of making this available to people, when we've done this for almost to the 9-month mark, where it could have, you could have done it a long time ago, right now you should be starting to look at next year. I find it really interesting that if we don't pay what we're to pay, there'll probably be an editorial directed at us. Well, I believe there'll probably be an editorial directed at us regardless. I find it interesting that we're picked on if we make a decision in error of any money, but now you want us to pay above what is allowed by state law, that the Daily Sun is saying go above the 100% that we're allowed to, pay us X amount of dollars, which puts us above legally where we can. I find it interesting that you're a for-profit paper. I understand that. I think next year is the time that you address it. The taxpayers are ultimately the ones at the expense of this. We are trying to geographically hit as many as we can. If there's a public service, you have a website that you strive for, why isn't it on there? That's my thoughts at the moment.
And my understanding with billing above the legal limit, from Alan, he said, technically, if you want to run in six papers, each of those six papers have the right to charge you that 45 cents per line by state statute. That's why he came back and said, for that same reason, the public service, the cost to the county, to the city, that's why the papers get together and say, okay, we want to do what's right in the eyes of the taxpayers and not charge them 45 cents per line. Each of us get 100%. We want the papers to get together as a public service to the county in which they live and divided up equitably. And that, I think, is what happened 20 years ago with the Arbor State. So
if your cost of operation is so high that you can't afford to do this for that, why have you continued to do it?
Have continued to do what?
Put the legal notices in if you're saying the cost is prohibitive.
Well, the discussions were ongoing, and I guess each month as I had April and May had discussions with Don, then there were more discussions with Alan, and then I think Matt and Patrick got some discussions going. It was kind of an ongoing thing, thinking that it was going to soon come to an end, and this, I think, is working towards that, so we can make it, you know, everybody can get on the same page and come to an agreement, what we're going to do with the outstanding balance, what we're going to do going forward. are the papers going to get together or whatnot. So it was kind of an ongoing thing. In the middle of that, we had some changes at the Daily Sun in the publisher position, and not that that's an excuse, but it's a bump in the road. You kind of have a hiccup there where then you switch gears and focus on some other things, and so I guess if anybody doesn't have any further questions.
And I should just qualify, Rhonda wasn't at the meeting that Myron and myself and Roger had with the other three representatives from the Daily Sun. And
right. And
really the crux of the argument was, you know, that we weren't paying a bill. And my thoughts were, well, we told folks going forward it was going to be 33%, and the Daily Sun really needed to decide at that point, were you going to publish it for that amount or not? And I think they continued to publish it. My understanding was that gave us, hey, we don't like it, but it's 33% because that's what we voted on. And so where my concern comes in is they do carry, and I don't look at just Gage County because we are regional. If you look at the regional numbers, there are 5,000 people that paper serves, and I think the Voice is around 3,200, and the Arbor State, I don't know what I said before, 600-700 people, so, or addresses. But if you look at that, there's a huge portion of the people in Gage County that will not get the legal notices if we continue to say 33% and they don't run it. I think it's squarely on the Daily Sun to say we can't do it for that amount. Well, then we have to decide if they're not going to do it for that amount, then we've got 5,000 potential people in the area that aren't going to get those legal notices. And so, again, I think it becomes somewhat convoluted, and that's why I appreciated the opinion and the new information from the Voice News, and I think we just have to think about it differently, and there'll be a cost to it. By adding a third publisher as far as circulation print media, we added a cost, and we probably should have been aware of that. But, again, I don't think anyone foresaw that it was going to be like it turned out. There apparently is a higher cost at the Daily Sun than some of the other non-daily papers, so we just need to be sensitive to that.
But in the same spin to that, Matt, maybe let's say 500 of those people want the legal notices, they'll start taking the Voice. They'll start taking the Arbor State. So, I mean, if they need it and want it, they will find it.
Yeah, and I think
it's not we're taking it away from somebody, right, because they may be taking it just solely for that right now.
And it's a free market system. I know there's people that take both papers, and they may just decide just to take one. So, and the consumers will shake that out. But I guess, right now we've got three papers that serve Gage County, and if we take one of those out, and I know I've talked to Terry about this, the Arbor State, they serve 700 or whatever that number was I threw around.
650 is what.
650, but what if there's only 700 households down there? Well, their market share, they're reaching a much higher percentage. And so depending on what's fair, which side of the fence you're on, and you can crunch the numbers percentage-wise, is it, with 72% of what, households? What counts as circulations? Is it population? But I guess, we can go through all that. I guess what it gets down to for me is public notice. And we've got three main papers in Gage County that I'd like there to see public notices in. And there's going to be a cost to it, and we just need to know that going forward.
Myron.
Well, and I'd also like to point out, originally the motion was a third, a third, and a third. And last year it was at 65-35. Well, last year the Daily Sun got $9,200 in revenue, Wymore $4,900. The Voice is projecting $2,300, so that's really not a third. If you took the numbers from last year and kind of compare or whatever, you're really looking at about a 15 to 18% increase over what the original motion was that Denny had or whatever.
Okay. Kathy. Then Gary.
How many times are there that things have to be run more than one day? Is it most generally?
Certain requirements, but not very often.
Okay. My guess would be that probably the Daily Sun's publication costs and actual printing costs are lower than the Voice News and Arbor State, just because they do it daily, they do for multiple papers, and so I would imagine their actual printing costs are less than your printing costs. That's just my guesstimation there. I think that, again, the time to have had this discussion was back in January, and we did print that legal notice in the Daily Sun, and nobody was here to represent you. I think that now is a great time for you to start discussion with the other papers and come forward to the board with a proposal for next year. But I believe at this time this year, we need to keep it as it was voted on, and you do have the option to not print our legal notices, and we are within our boundaries as far as legal notice.
Gary.
I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I think that the newspaper, especially in a community of our size, is extremely important to have a good, healthy paper. I think it's vital to the community. But I guess under that, you know, under that thinking, I think it's important that you three get together, figure this out, hammer it out. This is the way we want to move forward. I'd even agree to a resolution to change it, you know, right now, or I mean in a month or whatever, rather than wait until January. I wouldn't have a problem with updating what we've done. But where we've been, I don't see any way that we can backdate what we've done and pay the Beatrice Daily Sun 65%, because we have a pot of 100%, and you can't give a certain amount to two papers and then come back and give 65%, and then all of a sudden 100% is 120% or 100, and because obviously we're not spending the 33% with Voice News, so you know 33 and 33 ain't gonna add up to 100. But if we give you 65, we're giving them 20, and we're giving Arbor State 25. All of a sudden, your pot isn't 100%; it's 110%, and there's no way that we can spend 110%. I don't see that we can backdate it. I mean, 33% was what the resolution said. There was the discussion that went back and forth to who is no longer there, to him discussing the fact that that's what it was going to be, and you know where there wasn't representation here that said that that wouldn't work. You know, we went under that assumption, and like Matt said, it's just we move forward thinking that, and you know, it might be unfortunate, but I don't think that there's anything we can do differently at this point.
Kathy.
And I don't believe that shorting the businesses that have worked well with us and are happy to get our business, even though it's not a real profitable situation for them, it's servicing their people. I think that to short them to give more to the Daily Sun at this point in time wouldn't be a fair thing to do for them.
Terry.
I guess the way I see it, based on circulation, you know, the Daily Sun is entitled to more. And that's just the way I see it.
Any more discussion? Myron.
A little bit on Terry's comment, too. If you look at circulation, you look at numbers, they probably are entitled to more. No, we did not have this discussion back in January. The papers did not come forward. Was brought on, put on the agenda, we voted it through. Did we make the right decision or the right choice back at that time based on some of the information we have now that if you compare cost and all of that, is it treating them fairly, I guess? I look at also the other side, is it treating the county taxpayers fairly? I mean, they have, if you look at the projections, they've got another $2,300 worth of cost this year. But what are we getting or what are we giving to our constituents for that amount of money?
Any more discussion?
I might like to comment a little bit more about how our...
Can you hit the microphone there?
Come forward and re-identify yourself, please.
Kevin Valkner from the Voice News. Just a little bit about how the newspaper works as far as costs and expenses. First of all, the way Don sends our legal notices to us, I wish all of my customers would send them the way that you do. You send them in a Word document. It takes me 2 minutes to save that. It lays out in the columns, and I'm done. So the actual expense of me paying a person to do that is very minimal. There's a lot of things that determine how many pages we are going to go in a week, and a lot of it depends on advertising. But there's not a lot of cost associated with publishing the Gage County notices. If I lose the Gage County notices, I'm not going to be a page shorter next month. So my printing cost is going to stay the same because it's based on the number of pages that I run. It's based on my press run.
postage is not going to change because it's based on how many copies I'm sending out. And there's a little bit about weight and percentage, but the notices aren't going to really throw it that much one way or another way. So you're publishing it, and there's a cost involved, but it's really negligible. If the Daily Sun would decide to not do legal notices anymore, they're not going to, like, all of a sudden be smaller. It's not going to be an 8-page paper tomorrow because there's no Gage County notices. So I think we need to be careful when we look at, oh, it's so expensive, it costs so much money, what the difference really would be if the determination was made not to continue to publish. Because I average about 32 pages a week. I averaged about 32 pages a week last year before you guys were generous enough to give us this business. And if you change your minds about how you did it, I'm still going to be about 32 pages. So the cost, the actual bottom line cost to me, and I think to the other papers, is negligible. So I think we need to be careful not to get lulled into, oh, it's just such an expense to provide this service to the taxpayers.
Okay. Well, and that's where I think the percentage, when we're dealing with two different types of papers, I don't think the percentage moving forward makes a lot of sense anymore, the way that now we have new information. I think we have to look at it from a cost standpoint. And I think we sit down and we look at what the costs are to provide those, and then we weigh that value. Because the percentages, to me, I don't advocate having a higher percentage here and then taking away from somebody else. I said there's a cost there, and I appreciate that you do it at the way that you do. But that's where
legal notices on our website. And it's searchable, so people can go and look for later if they miss something.
As Lymore does also.
And we may have to, you know, when we go back and because I believe it's by statute, we do this in January, we designate how we're going to do our legal publications. We may look at a cost structure, and even though it serves a huge area with the Daily Sun, we may decide that the cost is too prohibitive.
I would do it in January.
At that point.
It's done.
Unfortunately, make a decision at that point. But I just think we have to look at it from a money standpoint and circulation. There's three papers. I think we should be in all papers, and if there's a ball drop in the court of the Daily Sun and say, we're not going to run them anymore. I mean, that's always a possibility. So I think we just have to be aware of it.
I know the Arbor State has talked to me. They've lost 2% from where they were last year. You know, they feel they're doing it at cost right now or very close to it. You know, but it's a customer service deal, and they feel geographically they support their people down there very well. Up there, obviously, you support yours very well geographically, 650 on the northern end. And, they suggested that we go through, Arbor State suggested that maybe we look at zip codes and, you know, go off of zip codes maybe a little bit to see where everybody is being hit. So, I mean, there's things to look at, but, you know, Gary asked about doing a proposal. My stance is you made the decision in January, you waver on a decision, you're going to be wavering on every contract you do. You're setting the groundwork to meet it again in January, up to the publishers, the newspapers, to come to the board with a decision. And I guess that's my stance on it. But if you want to make a proposal, you're more than, welcome to do it.
Well, my suggestion is just that we have the papers come back with a proposal is the way we should be handling. I don't disagree that, Daily Sun probably should be getting a little more than they do than the other, just because of looking at some of those things that you brought up. But at this point, I can't see going back on what we've said without something with you coming back just for us to pay more than what we said we were going to. We can't do that.
And I think when you guys go to make your decision, you shouldn't be concerned about our costs. I mean, that's our job to decide whether or not we're making money or not making money or doing a public service or not. That's up to us. I think you should be concerned with your costs, like you said, keeping it 100% total, doing what's right, covering the area, making sure you're covering the best area you can. If that means adding in the Grand Island paper because there's contractors out there. I think you guys need to make that decision as well. But as far as making your decision based on what our costs are, I don't think that should play into what, you know, what you guys, how
when,
you make
when
your
you
decision.
Say that, I have a question. What is the Lincoln Journal Star's circulation in Gage County?
I'm sorry, I don't know that.
I mean, is it higher than the Daily Sun? Do we go to the Lincoln Journal and highball everyone else?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? If you want to open that argument up, is the Omaha paper circulation higher? It opens a whole new discussion. We're trying to geographically support Gage County residents. And
while watching your costs, which is what all of us do as business people. That's right. So. Yeah.
Rex, I'll just make a quick comment on that. I don't remember the lady's name who's in charge of publishing. She was down at the meeting the other day. She quoted something like 2,300 is the Lincoln Journal Star's publication or
readership
circulation in Gage County.
If I remember the number right.
Well, if you take both papers, they're delivered together. They're rolled up. My Lincoln Journal and my Daily Sun are delivered to me as one. They're rolled up and put in my door in the morning. Together.
So then you would have to look at how many of that 2,300 and 4,000 are crossovers,
right.
But
yep.
Yeah.
But all of your publishing, everything is done in Lincoln anyway, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
All the printing, everything, and the people that are employed are in the Lincoln plant and not in Beatrice. We have nobody publishing in our publishing plant in Beatrice like we used to, right?
Yeah, we do not have a print press anymore at all.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's all done in Lincoln.
Yes, that went away 10 years ago.
We call in the ad or give you the ad, but then it's put on the web. You
we
transfer
handle
it
here.
To Lincoln.
Yeah, we handle it here and set it up, do the pages here, but they're just simply printed in Lincoln.
Right.
And, you know, they're strictly a number. Granted, your circulation's higher, but do you get 50 papers that go to the hospital? Do you get 10 that go to the courthouse? Do you get 10 that go to Good Sam? Those are the questions, you know, if you want to use numbers, those are questions you really need to ask. What's going to actual households?
Which ones are laying on the McDonald's table for people to come in and read
Correct.
All throughout
Correct.
The day? Yeah.
Correct. So, I mean, you're at a total, but when you start talking numbers, numbers are numbers, you know, and you can add a lot of things to them. But, okay, any more discussion on this?
You know, something, and I'll just throw this
Roger,
out.
Yeah.
If, and again, I think things just kind of go along when you do a reorganization. They don't pay attention that we are going to pick a paper, we're going to do other things that are organized that January meeting. If it would help, Don or somebody could send a notice or a letter to the three papers and say, maybe you folks can get together like they used to, go over this, and maybe a phone call. Hey, I'm happy with the way it is. And then present that as the papers to the board in January. So it gets done. I think it's just something maybe needs reviewed. I agree with whoever said it that we don't need to know their costs. And, of course, in my mind, circulations are like poll numbers. Depends on who you talk to as far as what your numbers are. And we don't need to know that. I think the point of Denny's motion was the northern half or the northern third gets the voice. And now these are generalities. Beatrice Daily Sun covers the central area. Weimar covers the southern. And I think that's important. That's why you did this, was to get maximum distribution. As Matt says, maybe we need to look at this and how we calculate that the next time. But if they bring it to us, it's much easier. Then we don't get into these things that I think are business matters. Because nobody likes to talk about what my margins are or anything else.
Okay.
Absolutely, and I think from a public standpoint, I would think those publications would have the initiative to move forward themselves without us having to tell them. Let's the three of you get together and talk. And I see both the Arbor State and the Voice seem to be very willing and open and have from the beginning to do that. And I would ask the Daily Sun, please come forward, be a partner. And let the three of you talk about it, and let's do a positive thing for all of the people of Gage County. And I ask your cooperation. I appreciate the cooperation, Arbor State, and the Voice. Thank you very much.
Any more discussion? Okay, read the motion back.
Well, the motion was just opened as far as the agenda item approve or disapprove Daily Sun request for additional funding, and Matt made the motion to approve the additional funding, seconded by Lytle.
Okay. So you are voting so everyone understands the motion. Vote. In favor, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Byers. Against, Adams, Lytle, Setzer. Approve or disapprove agreement with the Nebraska Interactive LLC, a Nebraska limited liability company, the Nebraska State Records Board, and Gage County for electronic government service level agreement.
I'll make a motion to approve to start the discussion, but can Roger speak to this?
Yeah. Motion by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Roger, you've been requested to fill us in on this.
I don't know what this is.
This is a contract. Okay. Lori brought a copy of this. My understanding, this is to use the credit card situation. Lori can, she brought the contract to me. I've looked it over, and basically it's a standard contract that I'm sure every county office that's going to use credit cards and work with the state on. There's not much negotiating these things. And basically we're piggybacked on the state, kind of a third-party beneficiary of this contract. We're basically signing this contract, or we would be on approval, working with our state office, and we're going to share information so that the payments can be made directly to the treasurer here. I didn't see any problem legally with the document.
And I think the other offices were maybe going to also join in. We already, like you said, are affiliated with Nebraska.gov through the state. So.
I do have a credit card system set up, but this would actually save my constituents or the customers some money, because the system that we have automatically is a flat rate of a dollar if your cost is like your purchases is a small amount, they automatically tack on a dollar, where this would be very insignificant, 2.7% of that sale. And I think the sheriff's office was looking at using them too, is that right?
I'm going to use as much as I can on anything I can.
Okay.
Quick question. This is basically, I mean, we've had a system in use to use the credit cards, but this is,
Just
we're piggybacking now on the Nebraska system.
Yeah, it's Nebraska.gov.
Okay.
Yeah, we have certified payments right now.
Right.
And then, like she said, it'd be a little bit less for the customer coming in.
So the rate previously was about how much?
Well, you would be charged a dollar regardless of the amount. But now, say it's $10, it'd be a quarter instead of a dollar.
Okay.
It's not going to be much, but... Yeah,
but if it was $200, then...
It'd still be 2.5% regardless.
Yes. Okay, that percentage stays the same. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Vote. Gary?
Yeah, I'm against everything.
7-7-0 to approve.
I'm against everything.
Approve or disapprove agreement between the Library Board of City of Beatrice and County of Gage in the amount of $23,000.
I would move. We approve.
Moved by Byers to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
I'm for Lorraine.
Approve or disapprove agreement between the Library Board of City of Wymore and the County of Gage in the amount of $3,600.
Moved to approve.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove county insurance covering flu shots for eligible county employees.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman. Is that a dollar? Is it a dollar a shot? What was that, like $2? Insurance is going to cover it, but we'll pay for that. What was the estimated cost? What did we do last year?
This.
What was that cost?
And it just runs through our insurance policy is what it does. And I think the shot's like if you didn't have the insurance, was $20. Otherwise, our
insurance will cover it. I just.
It's just if we set it up that we're going to run it through the insurance.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Committee reports, building and grounds.
I think we're still working on the monument, trying to decide exactly what we're going to do, getting some advice from some professionals. Friends of the courthouse have stepped forward, and they're working with Dave Jones relative to the cost, and so hopefully they will be able to pick up those costs, and we will not have to do that in our budget. But still doing some planning and moving forward on that.
Okay. And part of that was, too, that they're looking into the names on there now. Don't know if they can resurrect those or put them back to good condition, but I forget who. He had some company looking at putting them on a metal, some type of
that's
metal.
Right. I don't think they can do. They're afraid to try to do it on the existing names.
Right. It's just too far gone or just too deteriorated or whatever. But Dave's looking into all that. I really appreciate the work Dave's doing on that. He's keeps coming back with more information.
He's done a great job.
Anything else, Denny?
No.
Economic development?
Yeah, we have a meeting tomorrow, our monthly meeting, 4:30 down at the, I call it the city auditorium or whatever. A lot of things probably we'll discuss there. They'll update us some more on the web company that we have made a decision on, and hopefully we're getting a lot closer to hopefully having in place a new economic development director, and hopefully we'll have more information. I know we'll have more information at the meeting on that, what's all coming about with that and everything. So 4:30 down there, anybody wants to come, and I wanted to make sure Doug remembered it's 4:30 tomorrow, so, and Scott too.
Okay. Emergency management, EMS.
Mark, did you want to discuss our part-time? Yeah. What we're looking at with Mark is, I think we discussed it a little last meeting in emergency management here. Need somebody, we don't so much need office help as maybe somebody operationally that can go out and, you know, they can do the office work, but yet they can go out and, you know, need help with radios or whatever. They're able to do that kind of work, too. So that, Mark's going to kind of fill us in on what he's thinking.
As Gary said, we discussed it in the committee, and we've come up with kind of a proposal, I think. Don, did you get these handed out?
Yes.
Okay. it would be an estimated 12 to 16 hours a week. Previously, you know, for the past 7 years, I've had Sean was my exercise training officer. The first 3 or 4 years of that, he was 3 counties, and then it went to 5 counties, and then it went to 14 counties. So over the years of that, he's provided a service to our county, even though he was a regional person. Being based out of here, there was more than I'd probably give him credit to do what he did assist me with. One of the biggest thing is when a company calls, for example, we have a exercise that's going to be held at Agrium coming up in September, and that's going to take some time. It's been taking time already. That's the type of thing he used to do. So the meetings that we have to go out there and attend to help set up and do that, that's the hours. A lot of those hours I have to do myself now, plus the stuff. But so we look at about a 12 to 16 hour a week. We would take the hourly rate of $13 per hour. I base it upon the deputies that get paid at the sheriff's department. Part-time gets $14 an hour. There is a certification program. So if with $13 an hour for the non-emergency management certification person and $14 an hour if certified. Right now, currently, the only part-time person I have, only staff person I have that is fully certified besides myself is Mark Jobman. So emergency management performance grant, the EMPG money would cover 50% of that salary. I did put that in my EMPG money this year. I would no longer pay them. What we've been doing in the past is I call it a stipend. We've paid them a yearly stipend of $750, which that included $25 a month that we reimbursed them for their cell phone, but we just wrote that in one, the $750. We would continue to pay their $25 a month. That's just the 3 deputies, the $25 a month for their cell phone. And that allows the dispatch center to get a hold of them if they're paid, if they page it out and no one responds. We also have to use their cell phones when they're out on calls. Pay allowed mileage if they use their own county vehicle, just as we have done in the past. And any time that they can use a county vehicle, they will, to get away from paying that extra money for that mileage. That will be under the allowable rate. There will be a schedule of work and a log to be completed weekly, monthly. So there will be a list of things that we'll be doing. The biggest thing that I can see is the preventive maintenance. I mean, I've had to go to Wymore every morning this last 2 weeks, or Blue Springs to the tower site and to the water tower, the county barn, and been up to Adams twice. So there's a lot of stuff going on. We took off, the three deputies and myself took off 2 weeks ago. We were out for 7.5 hours and we never covered all the sites, just the communication sites, which is about 17 sites. So it takes a day just to get around, and that's all we did was just make sure their key worked. We didn't work on nothing. We didn't look at nothing else except we did find we had a building full of hornets. But we did get that cleaned up. And other than that, we were out all day long and didn't hit all the sites. So that's how long it does take to drive the county to check those sites. Work includes but not limited to the preventive maintenance of all the equipment, inventory, and other office duties as assigned. And then this will be for the current deputies that I have, as well as if I hire someone. One of the biggest things that a lot of this time would go to in the next coming, I'm going to say in the next year, because that's how long it would take, is we have to rewrite the local emergency operations plan, and that's every 5 years we have to do that. I hired someone to help to assist with that 5 years ago, and I'll need help with that again. And that's required by state law that we have to have a current plan. So that's some of the hours will go towards that. And I have a person that as I've spoken to that would be willing to help us with that, that actually did help last time with the rewrite of it. So that's kind of where we stand right now, and that would bump my budget line. I have $8,000 budgeted now. It would just bump it the extra $4,000 to $12,000. And again, as long as they meet the NIMS requirements, they don't have to be certified for EMPG to get that money back, but as long as they meet the NIMS requirement, there's 12 NIMS training sessions they have to get the EMPG money back. Mark has already been through them all, and we would continue to get Dave and Sam through them so we can get their 50% reimbursed through the state also for that. So
earlier this year, we had a visit with Al Burnt from Nebraska
Emergency Management Agency.
One of the things he talked about was the value of having active deputies that are available to help your full-time emergency management director. And I think the deputies we have are good, but they're so busy, they're not always available when Mark needs them. They have their own jobs, and his advocacy was get deputies that can be active, that can be responsive when you need them, and then pay them and then expect something out of what you're paying. Don't just have a stipend out there and really don't have anything that you really require of them, but actually require something. And so I think that's partly where I think this is a good move, is get someone that can help, and you need to complete these things, and I think that's a good thing.
And I think Terry brought up a point too during the committee meeting. It's not that I'm going to say, here's 16 hours, we're going to use it all up every week. There may be a week that we only use 4 hours and there's not, you know, everything else is done till the next week. We may, you know, so it'll be, I guess the 12 to 16 hours would be an average. And of course, we're already into a couple months of it, but my intentions is I'm not just going to pay someone to sit in the office. If they're going to be, and I guarantee you, you know, for example, my deputies now, they don't have intentions of coming in, setting in the office to collect money. Their intentions, if they're going to do this, is they want to get out and get something done because they got other things to do. And each deputy has a specialty, as far as I'm concerned, that I have the three deputies. Sam has been around a long time. He's been in this county as emergency management for almost 50 years. He knows a lot of the people at a state and federal level and been to a lot of federal training out state and such, and he has a lot of knowledge in that and still can do a very good job, public relations type stuff. Mark does a very good job in the EOC. He likes that position. And Dave is a very logistical person and a hands-on type of guy. He goes out, he'd rather go change a flat tire than sit in the office downstairs. So each deputy, and that's my intentions. I've talked to each one of them. Even if one of them comes in, you know, for example, Mark works, has Saturdays, Sundays off. If he's not on call, he can put in 4 hours out doing some of the preventive maintenance and if Saturday afternoon or whatever. So so I think there would be the one person I want to contact that would help me with the LEOP and then would be available during the day. So, you know, if I'm here right now and something happened, I need to be somewhere, they can help out with that. So Sam also has the responsibility of the Tier 2 forms. He keeps track of those, and when the forms don't come in, he goes contacts the outfits that don't hand them in and make sure those are all done. And he also is my alternate for the local emergency planning committee that he attends. So there's things that each one of the deputies have knowledge of. So,
Myron. Yeah, this is 12 to 16 hours total for the three, not each individually.
Right. It'd be a total of hours, yeah.
And then my only other thought is, like in the next year sometime or 6 months to a year, are you going to give a report like to the committee or something?
Sure.
Just so that they know if the hours are flexible or not.
Yeah. Okay. So we're staying in line with the budget and such.
Yeah.
And I know you had a busy agenda today, so I just printed up a report and handed, I think each one get a copy of the report that I just didn't feel is necessary to go through today, but there is a report there of the type of work that's completed and such. So we stay, we're pretty busy. I guess the biggest part of my job right now, and that I've spent a lot of hours on and still continue to, and I have three communications projects going on right now this morning, is the communications part of it. And it's just going to continue to grow. We're going to be probably taking on part of the statewide system here in the county, that's going to be a responsibility, although the state will, pay to maintain that and such. But there's still a logistical type of thing to make sure the communication system's all right. We have some problems up in Adams again, and we're trying to get that taken care of. We have a problem in Wymore with the law enforcement channel, and we're moving a tower in there. And so there's a lot of that type of work that sometimes I shouldn't have to be there. Just if a person there, Sam right now is down and locking the door for an electrician to come in. That saves me a lot just for him to run down there this morning and do that. So.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else?
Myron, just so you know, it won't be a once a year type deal. I try and keep in contact with Mark. I try and talk to him once a week, and that would be something we're going to monitor monthly. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be something we're going to wait a year and say, well, is it working, Mark, or not?
No,
we'll,
yeah.
So, yeah, we'll stay on top of it.
And I hope that, I feel that I can manage it, and I hope you feel that I can do that and not, get carried away with it. So I'm going to try real hard to keep that within. And like you said, everything needs reviewed. That's sometimes we get into a problem. We don't review stuff soon enough, and we get through halfway through it, and it's not working. We're going to readjust it. Just come back to the board and readjust it if we have to. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Equalization.
Heard everything we're doing in our equalization hearing this morning. Really, nothing else.
Finance.
Oh, let's see. Probably just touch briefly on the budget. Just as I made a coy statement last 2 weeks ago about the election budget, that I think only Terry probably fully appreciated the humor. The election budget's actually, she requested less than she did last year, but her expense was less than what she's requesting this year. So Dawn corrected me on that. So, and she made an extreme point to point that out. So, and that was just a comment in response to the change of the voting district. So, and then the other thing, and I see Gus here. I don't know if he wants to talk about that, but we did increase the sheriff's budget by about $30,000 from what actual expenses were last year, and about $40,000 from what was budgeted last year. So. I don't know if Gus wants to talk about that. Again, depending on what... Well, okay, he'll talk.
Bobby? I can touch base on it if you'd like. I hadn't planned on it, but I'll be glad to do that.
Oh, well, I thought you were...
Well, no. What we're trying to get accomplished is I still have two shifts where I still have one deputy working. And we've tried to keep the day shift, but it's just not working out. It's just handing it to them. So we're trying to do something where I can get more than one person out there on calls, and also trying to figure out how I'm going to handle more of a full-time basis here in the court for screening station security. So with that, and it finally gets approved, we'll see what we end up with and kind of look at the different options. But that's the goal behind what we're trying to do there. So.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
If there's anything else for Finance Committee? Oh, in your package you'll see, and this has been a discussion before with the Veterans Service Office, as he maintains a separate fund, there's a fund balance that we visited with him and we asked. There won't be any dollars budgeted in the budget this year for Veterans Assistance, but it's not because there isn't money out there. It's in an account that the Veterans Service Office maintains, and it's got $9,500 in it. So just, if you see that in the budget, it's not that we're not funding veterans relief. It's just there's a fund out there that they administer, that they have funds in. We visited with Phil last week, and in the next year or two, if that drains down, then we can budget more. But that was something that came up in the last audit, is that we had dollars budgeted that were being drawn out and put into this account. And I think we've come up with a compromise. And my request to Phil was at least quarterly send a statement of what's in that account to the treasurer's office, just so there's full disclosure and she knows, and he didn't have a problem with that. So that's the fund balance that's in there.
Okay. Any other questions on finance? Human resource and employee relations.
We met last week, and we're going to be meeting again here in the next week or so. We don't have a date set, reviewing some of the job descriptions.
Okay. Insurance.
Well, we already discussed that today during the meeting, so pretty well covered it.
Yeah, we did. Law enforcement.
We didn't have no meeting or nothing. I know Gus is visiting all the time with the finance committee about the upcoming budget and stuff, and visiting about that.
Big deal. I think I'm on a speed dial.
I like how you said visiting. That was good. I like that.
Yeah. Well, he's not strong-arming him yet, I guess. But
not because he ain't trying.
Yeah, that's not because he's not trying.
He hasn't unholstered his pistol yet.
He has stronger ways to be more persuasive.
Taser. Anything else? Okay, road and bridge.
Yes, everybody should have activity report in their packet. Asphalt grading crew and bridge crew have been busy. Other updates that we've had here. The Gage County received notice to proceed with negotiations and acquisition for the Philly North project. I think Rex signed that and forwarded on to the NDOR. And acquisition packages have been prepared and start negotiations the week of August 20th. The other big thing is the Wymore project. There'll be information for specifications for letting the bids on August 30th, 2012, with a tentative start date of May 13th of 2013.
Yeah, that's big. Hey, Terry, just something Dave Claybaugh said this morning, that the NRD is going to use county right of way. That is, they told us from the very beginning in Road and Bridge that there would be no county right of way used. I think that's something that we need to discuss.
I think there was some stipulation, he said, unless it was some area that it was impassable to go through a private landowner's. Right. He did mention, I think I remember, that they would come back in
certain.
That's the way I remember it. Does anybody remember it differently than that?
I remember that too. There would be certain situations.
Yes.
As where far they would as, need to lay that out in county right away.
Yes.
I mean,
but not for lengths of a.
No, there wouldn't be. Just in and out for maybe culverts, ditches, those kind of areas right through there.
There was erosion, I believe, is what he was. There was, like, the adjoining landowners were concerned about erosion.
Erosion or something.
It would be probably a good idea to find out where those are at.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys can look at them and pass them on, because we got that other issue floating around about using right away for pipes.
Well, that's where I was.
And this is domestic, right? I mean, as all this NRD project is domestic use, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah,
no,
that's correct.
Correct. Yeah.
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 Well,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. Obviously, that's a
it's just a
priority.
Right.
But I do struggle with this.
But, part of what we visited with them about was that they need to give us a map of where all the roads crossed and all the right of ways, everything where they're in our in the county's right of way or under the road, that they were going to keep that us fully updated all the time, or the highway department.
And in most cases,
there's nothing to say that the NRD project is going to be just domestic, because it's going to come into the property. There's nothing to say they won't water cows with that or whatever else.
Well, no, I mean not irrigation type stuff. I think it could be used for livestock also, because you're paying by the gallon.
I think. Exactly.
So it could be for livestock.
Several that have signed up just for a deserted farmstead or pastures.
I'm just saying it ain't just going to be homesteads.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not. No.
How much is 6,000 gallons a month?
I don't think that's a lot of water if you have livestock to water. That's not a lot of water.
No, if you have livestock,
that's not very much.
A tank truck that you see on a semi is a set of about an 8,000-gallon tank.
Well, that isn't a lot of water then. Okay, that's your free water then, for your $60.
$60.
Shower a week.
Yeah, and yeah, one shower a week.
Rex, on that, they were going to buy easements from the landowners on a majority of that. I remember that.
Given.
There was going to be an easement on that. But
given easements.
Yeah.
Okay, given easements, yes.
Yeah.
But there was certain areas where they did have to possibly use the county right away.
Possibly, okay. Yes. Well, I just think we need to pay attention to that anyway.
Where we got the other thing.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay, is there anything else for the good of the order of the Gage County Board of Supervisors?
Just if you, on that, those freedom of information emails, I know I've talked to all of you about, if you haven't sent me your emails, would you please do so? And also send me an estimate of the time that you took in digging them out on the Dr. Rice issue. Okay?
Thank you. Anything else for the good of the order?
This is the last week for regular season for racing. We've been averaging about 1,200 people every week to come to the fairgrounds between what's coming in the pit and so forth. So
is that about capacity?
Well, no, that's an 18-inch seat. You know, if your rear is a little bit bigger, then we wouldn't have that
kind
capacity.
Of but
that includes the pit and so forth. But we encourage you guys all to come out this week for our season finale. We just come and done with the county fair. We're putting those figures together. We all know it was pretty darn hot, but we were very pleased with our numbers. So premium auction alone brought in $54,000 just for the kids. So we thank the community for that and also for your support.
Wow. Okay. I think that if anyone comes from the fair, they should bring funnel cakes and corn dogs.
Oh, yeah. As of July 25th.
Yeah, they'd be a little stale by now.
Okay, anything else for the good of the order? Gage County Board of Supervisors adjourned 10:52. 42.